Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Welcome to this inaugural podcast of my musings from the middle of nowhere. Let's start with the idiom. According to Idioms Online, the phrase, don't bite the hand that feeds you, first came about in 600 BC and was used by the Greek poet Sappho. It's best illustrated by Aesop's fables, The Gardener and His Dog. A gardener's dog, frisking about the brink of a well in the garden, happened to fall in. The gardener very readily ran to his assistance, but as he was trying to help him out, the cur bit him by the hand. The man, annoyed at what he considered such ungrateful behavior toward one whose only aim was to save his life, came away and left the dog to drown. That idiom basically means we shouldn't treat people badly who only want to help us. And it has a lot of uses. Some people say, don't complain about your boss. He's actually paying you. But, you know, biting and teeth and smiles, all related to some of my favorite topics. But the teeth and the smile really tell us a lot about where people live, what they value, what time frame they've lived in. I mean, teeth in Tudor England, because Queen Elizabeth had a sweet tooth and supposedly her teeth were rotten, people were blackening their teeth so that they could look like they were taking part in the sugar craze, even when they couldn't afford sugar. Today, we whiten our teeth with Zoom, we straighten our teeth with Invisalign or with braces, and we're very concerned, especially in America, with how beautiful our teeth are. And teeth can be so gorgeous in a smile. I mean, think Julia Roberts, Keira Knightley, Will Smith. But teeth and smiles can also be horrifying. Pennywise, Charles Manson, who's not horrified by those teeth and smiles? I mean, teeth in my childhood were extremely important. I remember one of the first things I knew was that my grandmother could take out her teeth. My grandma was born in Forsyth County, North Carolina in 1905. She had beautiful silver hair that she wore in a French bun and clipped in with combs, and she wore rouge and lipstick and clip-on earrings. But the main thing about Grandma was she always took her teeth out at night. She'd put them in a cup by her bed and drop a couple tabs of Polident in. And it was quite horrifying to see her face all mashed up without teeth in. Now, the rumor is that in the 60s, my grandma fought a bout of depression. And she went to Ingleside, which was a state mental institution at the time in Nebraska. Now, at the time, to treat depression, they often gave full body shock treatments. Well, grandmother received those shock treatments, and supposedly her teeth were knocked out so badly and so damaged that she had to have the rest of them removed, and so ended up with a full set of dentures. By 1972, when I was born, she had those dentures, and they're a very distinctive part of her. So when I realized that my teeth stayed in my mouth all the time, but then you lost them and got new ones, I was absolutely surprised and shocked and thought it was glorious. When my friends in the first grade started losing teeth and getting money from the tooth fairy, I thought, hey, I want to cash in on this. So I went home and got my dad's pliers out of his pickup truck, went to the basement and pulled a couple teeth. I went upstairs and said, hey, I lost some teeth for the tooth fairy. And my dad said, well, how'd you manage that? And I said, oh, I got the pliers out of your truck and pulled them. He said, you realize we pull ticks off the dog with those, right? Well, that hadn't crossed my mind, but I did not pull any more of my teeth out with pliers after that. And, you know, I remember my sister having braces that wrapped around her teeth. Back then, you know, they didn't glue the braces on. They actually wrapped a band. Like, a lot of people have bands on the back teeth, but she was so sore for days. Her mouth just hurt. She cried, and I was a lot littler than she was by 9 years. So I remember thinking, I never want braces. But then, of course, because I had pulled teeth too early and my teeth were pretty stuck forward at a huge overbite when they finally came in, I ended up having to have braces for 3 years. And having braces again after a horse kicked me in the mouth. But when I was in third grade, biting really served me well. I had always loved my name, Samantha. I mean, I used to rush home after school and turn on Bewitched and watch Samantha Stevens twinkle her nose, and that, like, little twinkle just, I wanted to go to her house and knock on her door and say, please teach me how to do that little nose thing so that I can be a witch too. But in the third grade, there was a bully who led a group of kids who tortured me by calling me a witch and making fun of me. And it wasn't any fun. At one point, we actually thought about changing my name to Sarah, which was my grandmother's name. But right before we went to court, this kid, who was a couple years older than I was and rode the bus with me, said on the bus one day, I'm going to get off at whatever bus stop you do, and I'm going to beat you up. Well, this particular bus stop in town had, or this particular route in town had two bus stops, and I, like the unthinking child I was, decided to get off at his bus stop, thinking that might confuse him. It did not. The entire bus cleared, and all the kids formed a circle around us and started chanting, and I looked at him, he looked at me, he started huffing and puffing and ran straight for me. I swerved and he fell down, and I jumped on his back and I bit. And I bit as hard as I've ever bitten in my life. That kid howled. He got up and ran home. And you know, no one ever made fun of my name after that. But my fascination with teeth and biting and smiles has led into adulthood. A few years ago, I recently started dating again, and one of the things that I look for in profiles is a good smile with good teeth. Well, when I first started, I didn't know how important it was to see a picture with full teeth and smile before I met someone, and I wasn't quite smart enough to know you had to video chat before you met someone. I guess I just assumed everybody took care of their teeth. One of the first dates I ever went on, I met the man at dinner, and we started eating and chatting, and I noticed there was something a little bit off about him, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it until his dentures slipped, and his horrified face, and my horrified face, at his horrified face. I thought, oh my gosh, and I had flashbacks of my grandmother's teeth sitting in a cup next to her table, and her face, and its scrunched look, and I just said, no, I'm 45, in my head. I'm like, nope, I'm not ready to deal with dentures yet. I'm just not. So I spent the perfunctory 90 minutes with him at dinner, thanked him, and went about my way. A few weeks later, I had another incident with teeth, and as a single female, I need to be careful about people coming to my house. I mean, people in my generation still want to offer to pick you up, but I had a nice man who offered to fix my daughter's sink in my house, and I let him reluctantly come to the house and fix the sink. I had not yet seen his smile or his teeth. When he arrived, I kind of thought there was a little bit funky something going on. He fixed the sink and we had a little conversation, and I just, everything you can think some teeth were in front of his bottom and some top teeth were behind the bottom, and it looked like he hadn't been to the dentist in years, and I just couldn't, and I did not know how to tell him, and I felt horrible. But when he took his tools to his truck, I locked the door behind him and I texted him and I said, "I'm very sorry. I don't know what is going on, but I will pay you for the work that you did. I'm just not feeling this," because I didn't want to tell him the truth that it was his teeth. But he started pounding on the door and I got really scared. So I locked myself in the bathroom with my 22 and waited it out as he continued to pound. Eventually he left, and when I came out of the bathroom, I realized the man had left his shoes. So this poor guy not only fixed my sink, but also left without his shoes. I can just see him cussing me all the way home. I did put the shoes on the curb and text him and say, "Hey, I realize you left your shoes there on the curb, but I have learned to make sure I see a big smile and that I video chat before I meet someone." Well, today we're going to end with a poem that has to do with teeth and smiles. I wrote this a few years ago when I was teaching. I had a student named, well, his name was George, but I named him Micah. And so here's the poem, Micah. Micah, who looks like Owen Meany, doesn't have a prayer, won't meet our class halfway. His early unibrow gaps the spaces between the rest of us. Budding twigs, our hands muffle peels, trap straight smiles, crooked smiles, some crooked as Micah's back. We mean no harm. We tend to average. His expletives bite at our stares. Weak limbs flap against traps we set to watch him gnaw himself free. At night, he plots the downfall of the people and the destruction of the temple. Thank you for joining me for Musings from the Middle of Nowhere. I hope that my middle of nowhere is somewhere close to yours.